talk to Jesus all I wanted. I always think of those two circumstances. I think Colossians 3:23 is an excellent companion verse to this passage. Do it with all your heart as if you were serving Jesus. And of course, in this passage, we find out technically we really are serving Jesus. Down in verse 8, it says, because he will reward us for whatever good we do. So you are serving him. My grandma told me something when I told her about the dream job of sorting bottles that degenerated into stomping garbage. And how, you know, I was trying to do what Scripture said. She said, honey, God doesn't always make it easy for us. But she said the stuff that's not easy is the stuff that grows the biggest muscles. If he made it easy, we'd never have those muscles. So sometimes he lets it be hard for a while. And of course, she was my grandma and she was right. Here's the thing that I've noticed. When I purpose in my heart to follow this rule, it will be tested. There are people who will make your life miserable just to see if you really mean it. Maybe you've experienced that in the workplace. But I do believe that this is the most effective witness that we can have in the world sometimes. Sometimes it's the only reality of Jesus that some people will ever see is the way that you are in the workplace. Doing a good job. It'll leak out that you're doing it for Jesus. I was thinking of Michael to talk him into coming back because they love him. He is the most opposite of a closet Christian that you could possibly get. He wears t-shirts every day that say Jesus on them. And I mean, he just lives his life for Jesus. He works hard. He works harder than any of those people. And he's not in any kind of an obnoxious way trying to say, look at me, I'm holy. And of course, people notice. Michael's the good example. Like I said, lots of people in our church that are that way. He's the one I was thinking of yesterday when I went in there, and I thought, they're so glad he's back. They're so glad he came back. But they used to beg me, please, please, please tell him to come back. We don't have anybody that works like him. I had a guy in the church one time. He's not here anymore. If there was a polar extreme opposite, it would be him. Every employer that he had who knew that I was his pastor called me and said, could you please get this guy to work? If not, he's going to get fired. And believe it or not, he did worse when the people were Christians that he was working for. Because then he thought he could slough off. And you know what it did? They were all people from other churches, and it gave our church a bad name. It gave Jesus a bad name. Just because somebody was a sloppy worker. So it can go either way. It's an effective witness. Remember what Jesus said, a city that's set on a hill can't be hidden? It means you're a witness. You're not invisible. You're a good one or you're a bad one, but you're not invisible. You wear Jesus' name. So that's definitely one reason to excel. As a servant, I better get going here. Here's the thing that I've noticed when I do it for him. It will change and bless me, even if it doesn't change anybody else. But here's what I've discovered over the years. When I took this seriously, often it did change my employer's attitude towards me. Sometimes I got promotions simply because I did a better job. I did a stinky job with a good attitude. Some people that doesn't work, but you're doing it for Jesus, it doesn't really matter because he sees and he knows. Verse 7 says, serve wholeheartedly. The Amplified Bible says, serve readily with goodwill. What would be the opposite of that? I know this is convicting. It's convicted me. In my life sometimes. The opposite of wholeheartedly or readily with goodwill would be grudgingly. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. And everybody's going to know about it. And of course, everybody does know about it. One of my favorite short phrases in all of the book of Acts is, "Then Philip ran." Philip, who's smack in the middle of a flaming revival in Samaria, God interrupts him and says, "Go stand down by the road that heads south out of town." And so he did. He dropped what he was doing. He went down there. And after a while, a chariot started going on that lower road, right down along the Jordan River and in the west, what's called the West Bank. And the Lord says, "Okay, glue yourself," is what the Greek says. "Glue yourself to that chariot." And it says, "And then Philip ran." Man, I want to be like that. I want to be so attentive to Jesus that what he tells me to do, I run to do it. I wrote a song about it. "I Belong to You" is the name of the song. And one lyric says, "I'll come running when you call." It's a posture thing. If that's my heart towards the Lord, it's a lot easier to transfer that over to others who are in authority over me. Many times, it says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord, not man." There's Colossians 3:23 again, fits right there. I have to tell you, even in this job, when things were really hard here, before a lot of you people came, people were telling me what a loser I was, and I lost everything, and it was hard, and I didn't want to do it, and I just wanted to go home. I didn't want to be here. Time after time, the Lord would say the same thing. He'd say, "Son, do it for me. It's what I want you to do. Do it for me." And that gets you by. It does. And it's helped me so many times. Once again, verse 8, I love the word "because." Why do this? Why do go to all of this trouble? Why do this even if I'm in a stinky job with a stinking employer? Why do it? Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. So, technically, if you believe this, it doesn't mean you have to pretend that you're serving Jesus, working for that stinky boss. It means that you actually are working for Jesus. Because even if nobody else notices, here's the thing. Write this down in your head. He notices everything, even if nobody else does. And he will reward everyone for the good that they do, whether slave or free, meaning no exceptions or on equal footing. My daddy used to say, "Son, if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right." Lots of people were raised with that ethic. You don't hear too much of it anymore. It's pretty much now just do the least amount of work for the shortest period of time to get paid. When you do it for Jesus because you love Jesus, it's a different story. I worked 10 times harder when I was not getting anything, working 60 hours a week here at church. Redoing this building and supporting myself. I worked 10 times as hard as I've ever worked for anything else. And I'd whistle and I'd sing because I knew I was doing it for him. I wish I could say I always did that and that I never did something grudgingly. But here's the way to pull yourself out of the grudge nosedive, the grudgingly nosedive, is to say, "Hey, run yourself through the drill. What kind of a master do you have? What's he like? Is he worth serving?" "Yeah, he is." "Well, then do this for him. Do it for him." And like I said, some of you are just so good at doing this. And I commend you. Verse 9. "And masters, treat your slaves or your servants in the same way." It's kind of like what he said to husbands and wives. Wives, be in a submissive posture towards your head. Husbands, in the same way, be in a submissive posture towards your head, and then love your wife the way Jesus loves her. It just levels the ground, doesn't it? It's all of the ground of all of our relationships is level as believers is leveled by one thing. Not where you get the most recognition, but it's all leveled by one thing. Submit yourselves out of reverence for Christ. Do it for him. And it just levels all of the ground. Give up threatening them, the Amplified Bible says. It's a present active participle, which means something that is kind of continuously going on. A present tense continuous verb, and it's a negative form. So it's not saying if you ever feel like threatening or resorting to verbal abuse, you don't do that. It's saying you're doing it now. Stop it. And then it gives us a because again. Don't you love that word? Because why? Why should I? Says who? Well, he says, because the one who is both your master and their master is in heaven, meaning that he's over everybody. He sees, he knows. And there isn't any partiality with him. You're not special any more than they're special. We're all special to him. He treats all of us with patience and love, which means that just in because I'm in a position of authority gives me no excuse to be rude. Hate to say it, but I had to apologize to several people on Monday. I didn't like myself very much Monday. I was in the flesh, and I hurt some people that I love. I did not have a right to speak to them the way that I did. And I think I knew it immediately, but you can't look Jesus in the eyes if you've got that on your conscience and just go along as if everything is groovy. Hey, Jesus, you know, hey, dude, what's up? No, you can't do that if you know you just fried somebody or you embarrassed somebody or you hurt their feelings or you made them feel stupid, because he never does that. And he's always the one that corrects me. I don't do that too often. I wish I could say I never did. Every time I do, it grates against me and Jesus. It's not like he stops loving me, but he's not comfortable with me. You know, it's like, Bob, you know that thing. Yes, Lord, I know. I'm sorry. Come on, make it right, son. Make sure they know. So this is good stuff, isn't it? God gives you an opportunity to put it into practice. Living on this earth is an opportunity to put all this into practice, isn't it? The thing that I, then thank him, because it's good. I've often thought, I remember my wife and I flying down to Nashville, and we got off the airplane and walked into the lobby of that huge airport and walked into the main terminal. And we hadn't walked 20 feet before people were just oozing friendliness and niceness. And we started crying because we just came from Maine, where rudeness is an art form in the public sector so many times. And people were just so nice and so kind, you know, Annie, the way that they are in the South. And I remember when it was time for us to fly back home, we were dreading it. She said, here, let's make a deal. Let's pray. Let's make a deal that even if we're the only ones, we're going to be nice to people. We're going to do a good job. We're not going to complain. We're going to be kind if people aren't kind to us. If we're the only ones, we're going to do that. That will be tested. By the way, it's sure a good thing to purpose. I just love that in all of this, none of this stuff is our natural reaction to things. Until we come to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, we start thinking differently about it. In fact, if we're honest and we look at really the way that he loves us, he is so stinking consistent. When I'm just a poop head and I'm just, you know, being just a complete brat, he never stops being a kind father, ever. Not for a moment. When he has to correct me, which he often does, he does it with kindness, not threats. And of course, the more that you know him, and the more that you know him that way, the easier it is to be that way to others. So you pray for me, please. I'll pray for you. Like I said, we have, looking through this whole passage over the last 4 weeks, so many people that are just totally get this completely. I'm blessed by how many men we have that completely understand this. Others want to. They just have bad habit behind interactions that need to be corrected. Jesus, that's his specialty. All of us, when we look at the way he is, don't you just say, I want to be like that? Well, he wants you to be like that too. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. So it's definitely doable. In fact, once again, though these are imperatives, I'll say it again. This is, if you just back up and go back to chapter 5 and chapter 4, this is a description of what it looks like to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. I learned on Monday that my flesh is not like that. If I'm not drinking in and yielding to the Holy Spirit, my flesh is the same old stinking flesh it always was. Your flesh does not need an extreme makeover. It needs to die. Because it's till the day that you leave this planet, your flesh is going to be the same old flesh it always was. God does a better thing. He gives us himself. He lives in us. And in Galatians, which we're going to start next Wednesday, in Galatians it tells us that the Spirit of God who is in us is constantly fighting against that flesh that's part of us. And his intention is to win. His intention is to make us like Jesus. We need him. And he knows that. Have you gone home in the last 4 weeks and from this and just saying, oh man, I stink at this? See, then the God's word is doing its work. Remember James said it's like looking in the mirror. Shows me what I look like. That's a good thing. Because I can do something about it. I can say, Lord, please. One thing I wanted to say last week, I had to practice it. That's always a good way when you're telling other people what to do. If you're not doing it yourself, Jesus will let you know. Now, Lord, I really don't have a problem with my mouth. Oh, really? Roll the tape, boys. And let's just look here and blah, 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 blah. And then he'll rewind you through and you realize, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I stink. I'm so sorry. Here's the thing I wanted to say. This is especially true for fathers. I don't know why it's more important. It's equally important, maybe in one level, but especially with men. I know so many people who never, ever heard their parents apologize. Ever. And the reason they grow up not apologizing is because they never heard an adult apologize. They don't know how to do it. They don't know what it looks like. Or they think it's weakness in some respect. And it's not. It takes great strength to do that. Here's what I've learned. If you've done damage with your words, and we all do, James says, apologizing, repenting, change in linear direction, saying something to make amends goes a long ways towards healing. In fact, it's remarkable to me. I've known a few men that never apologized for their kids until they were in their 70s. And the minute they did, it started working retroactively like an infection and went back and started a good infection and started healing the damage that had been done. So don't undervalue saying, I'm sorry, I did that wrong. I shouldn't talk to you that way. You should have punched me when I was like that. Especially if you are in a position of authority, you could be saving your those that look up to you a lot of grief later in their lives. Let's pray. I love your word, Lord. Thank you for all the becauses in here. Thank you. I shouldn't have to have a reason, but it does help me when you explain why I'm to do something that is so exactly opposite of my natural reaction. And thank you, Lord, for showing us that you never intended for us to do it without your help. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. May, Lord, we yield to him and take advantage of the power that is available to overcome our flesh and live like him. And Lord, keep in the front of our minds the way that you are to us. That changes me. Thank you for the stinky jobs I've had in my life, Lord, that you showed me that all of this is true. Again, Lord, thank you. When I'm doing word, it's a to our feet. My heart and it for you light to his death. Have mercy on us, Lord. We are people with a stinky flesh and bad habits. Overcome them, Lord, we pray. Fill us with you. Like we sang, empty me. Fill me with you.